Well, good morning, everybody. How are you this morning? Good. Well, why don't you turn and wish somebody a Thanksgiving, a happy Thanksgiving. Go ahead and do that real quick. Say happy Thanksgiving to somebody sitting close by. Well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I'm looking forward to this week. I hope you are as well. I love Thanksgiving. I mean, the football and the food and the family. You know, our nation has contributed many wonderful things to the world: democracy, freedom, government for the people, by the people, of the people. But I think perhaps our greatest contribution to the world is Thanksgiving. I mean, seriously, a holiday in which the main way you celebrate is to overeat and watch football. I don't know who came up with that idea, if that was the Indians or the Pilgrims or what, but God bless them for it. I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure that's what heaven is going to be like. We're going to overeat and watch football, and the Giants are going to beat the Patriots every time. Every time in heaven, okay? Amen? I mean, Thanksgiving is just really, it's the greatest deal going. I love the holiday. So looking forward to it. Next week, actually tomorrow, I'll be getting on a plane to go down to my side of the family to be with them for Thanksgiving down in New Orleans, where I'm born and raised. And we're going to be with my family. And we always have a big family reunion on Thanksgiving Day. And a big tradition that we have, of course, besides the food, is we have a family football game every year called the Turkey Bowl. And growing up in the Ziegler household, this was like a serious tradition. Like, we had a trophy made, and it was like a big deal. And in fact, we had a lot of guys in the family, a lot of boys running the family. My dad's one of six boys. I'm one of four boys. I have an uncle who had four boys. So the nephews used to play the uncles, and it was a big rivalry. Back in the day, there was a lot of competition. I mean, we took this really serious. People would bring banners and signs, and there was the trophy, and it was like very competitive. And then all of my uncles got old and decrepit, and it wasn't very competitive anymore. You know, when you're playing your uncle and he's in a wheelchair, it's just not as fun as it used to be. So now it's like a really family-friendly game. You know, the kids play, and the girls play as well. We have progressed. We have, you know, we're very equal now. The girls get to play, and so it's a lot of fun. It was kind of a rite of passage growing up, and I'm looking forward to Aaron, my 9-year-old. I think he's going to make his debut this year. But I love Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving, and I think it's just wonderful that we have a national holiday set aside to remind us to give thanks. Aren't you thankful for that? I mean, I think we need the reminder as a nation. Like, hello, we are blessed people. We have a lot to be thankful for. And, you know, the sad thing is so many people will get together this week with family and friends, and they'll eat, and they'll have a great time with family, and maybe they'll watch some football, and of course they'll have a day off from work. And so many people will do all of those things and participate in all of the festivities, and yet they'll forget to stop and actually give thanks, right? They'll forget what the holiday is really about. And I want to encourage you, don't let that happen this week. In the hustle and the bustle of cooking and family and all the things that have to be coordinated and organized, stop to give thanks. Stop to give thanks. If you don't have that tradition in your family, just start a new tradition, you know. Give thanks, pray, and just make it a day of just gratitude to God. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about giving thanks. I want to talk to you about responding with an attitude and a heart of thanksgiving to situations that normally cause us to be stressed out, that cause us to be anxious, that cause us to worry and complain. Because here's the thing, if we will practice this habit of giving thanks, if we'll be gracious, we'll actually become gracious people. This will actually become part of our identity. And that's really what we're after today, is we want to be people who are thankful, people of gratitude, people who recognize that we're blessed. And so that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. That's in the New Testament. After you get past the Gospels, keep going. There's a couple little epistles there, short little letters, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. If you have your smartphone or tablet, just follow us there. Philippians chapter 4. A famous scripture on Thanksgiving from the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 4 through 7. I'm reading from the NIV this morning. As you're flipping over that way, let me just give you a little background, a little context here. The Apostle Paul is writing a letter to this church, this group of Christians at this city called Philippi, which is in modern-day Greece. And just to give you a little context here, the Apostle Paul is actually writing from prison. He has been imprisoned for being an apostle of the faith, and he's writing from prison to encourage this church that he helped start and Philippi, and it's not a very Christian-friendly atmosphere in Philippi. In fact, last time the Apostle Paul was there, he actually got beat up and thrown in jail there. And so this church is in kind of a hostile environment, but Paul writes this very encouraging letter. In fact, I'm pretty sure the Philippian church was his favorite church. They were a very generous church, very loving church. They had helped meet many of Paul's needs. They had supported him financially. And so you can tell Paul really has a soft spot in his heart for this church, and he writes this encouraging letter. And in the midst of this letter is this beautiful section on becoming people of thanksgiving, people who give thanks. So here we go, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Paul writes this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Now remember what's going on here. Paul's writing from prison. Okay? He's writing to people who are experiencing, Christians who are experiencing persecution. They're in a Roman city that's pagan, polytheistic, okay, doesn't have warm and fuzzies about Christians. This is a difficult time, and yet he writes to them and says, rejoice. Verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Then listen to these words in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Everybody say thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, I told you thanksgiving is in the Bible here. It's there. With thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Here's the main idea today, okay? I'm going to give it to you up front. Here's the basic idea of today. Paul is telling us that prayer and thanksgiving is the cure for worry. Prayer and thanksgiving is the secret weapon. It's the go-to thing. It's what we need to go to in times that cause us to be anxious, in times that cause us to worry. When we have stuff happening in our lives where we have a tendency to complain, what Paul is telling us we need to do is we need to give thanks. And we need to bring our prayer requests to God. We need to bring our petitions to God with thanksgiving and trust Him. You know, I've been to the doctors the last couple weeks, way more than I'd like to go, because I've been battling with recurring sinus infections and stuff going on up here and just not feeling well. And I hate going to the doctor. Here's my usual pattern when it comes to getting sick and going to the doctor. I'm kind of a typical guy. First of all, when I'm getting some symptoms of being sick, I ignore it at first. You know, like I just pretend it's not happening. You know, start maybe coughing a little bit or kind of getting a little congestion and just kind of ignore it. You know, some of you do that when you have a problem in your car, you hear a noise like under the hood, you just ignore it. You turn the radio up louder, you know, I kind of do that. And then, you know, then when I realize, you know, something's setting in, then I just start complaining about it. Then I take another week to complain. You know, I'm tired of this cough, man. I'm tired of feeling so run down, man. I'm tired of having this headache. So, you know, usually it's at least a good week or so for me to ignore it. Then the next week is the complaining it. This is how I handle it. Then the third thing is, I finally try to wait it out. You know, then when I finally deal with the fact, like, okay, I have a cold or I have a sinus or something, but I'm like, no, I'm good. It'll clear up. It'll be fine. Look, I'm tough. I'm good. I have a very strong immune system. I pride myself on my immune system. And so, you know, I tell my wife, no, I don't need to go to the doctor yet. I'm fine. I can tell, you know, I'll wait this out and I'll be just fine. That's my usual way of dealing with things. And so what usually happens is my mom hears about it and she says, you better get your butt to the doctor now, boy. And I'm like, yes, Mom, I will go. Right? Come on, guys. You still listen to your mom when she talks? I know I listen to my mom. And so I go to the doctor and, you know, the doctor prescribes some medicine or tells me to get some rest or take better care of myself, some course of treatment, and it helps me to get better. See, when I'm sick, there's what I need to do and there's what I typically do. Are you with me this morning? This is what I need to do, and this is what I typically do. And see, in life, when we face a problem, when we face a situation that stresses us out, when we face everyday things that cause us to be anxious, that cause us to complain, there's what we need to do, and there's what we typically do, what we have a tendency to do. I tend to do the same thing with problems as I do with getting sick. I tend to kind of ignore things. I tend to kind of complain about things. I tend to not really deal with things like I should. There's what I typically do, and there's what I need to do. My default reaction when I have problems or difficulties is actually to get anxious and to get worried and to complain sometimes, and actually to try to be in control myself, right? I'm one of those people who trusts in God. I believe God is good. I believe God has, you know, His hand upon my life. God's my provision. He's my provision. He's my source. And I believe all those things. It's just that when things get crazy, sometimes I just want to take control back over. I'm like, God, normally I'm really happy with you having the steering wheel, but when I'm going through difficulties every now and then, I'm tempted to say, okay, God, I've got this. Anybody else feel that sometime? we kind of want to take back over. Like when everything's smooth sailing, like of course we trust God. Everything's great. It's when we hit those difficult times that we're tempted to feel like we have to be in control, and we can get all anxious and worried. And so there's what I need to do, and there's what I typically do. What I need to do in those times is to pray. What I need to do in those times is turn to God. What I need to do in those times is give thanks for the way God has taken care of me, for the way God has provided for me, how God has shown himself faithful. But then there's that human side of me and the tendency that I have. Let me ask you this question this morning as we're going into this week of Thanksgiving. Do you have anything in your life? You don't have to raise your hand. This is just for you to respond today where you're sitting. This is your moment between you and God. Do you have anything in your life this morning that's causing you to feel anxious? Do you have anything in your life this morning that's causing you to feel tempted to worry about how things are going to work out? Do you have anything or any person in your life that might be causing you to complain? All the parents can put your hands up. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you have, you know, what's going on in your life? This is like just an honest moment with God. And here's the follow-up question to that. How are you doing with that? You know, what's your response? What's your typical response? Because there's how we need to respond, and then there's how we so often typically respond. Am I making sense to anybody today? And so the Apostle Paul, what he's doing here is he's speaking into our lives about the cure for our worries and our anxieties, because sometimes we're tempted to deal with the things that stress us out in unhealthy ways. Sometimes it's overeating. Sometimes it's drinking too much. Sometimes it's overworking. Sometimes it's doing all of these things to kind of medicate ourselves. But those things only leave us more broken. Those things only leave us more overwhelmed. They don't deal with the real problem that's going on inside of ourselves. Maxing out your credit card is not going to help the situation. It's only going to make things worse. And so Paul is speaking to the Philippians, and this applies to us as believers today here and now. And he's giving us the cure. He's saying, look, there's how you can typically respond and what human nature typically does in situations that cause us to be anxious and cause us to worry. But then there's what you need to do, how you need to respond with the help of God, with the help of the Holy Spirit. And it's prayer and thanksgiving. Why? So you can experience the peace of God. That's what the scripture goes on to say. So we can become people ruled by peace. See, here's the thing. We want to become people of peace. How many of you want peace to become first nature for you? How many of you want peace and wholeness and calmness to rule and reign in your life? Not all the other things, right? So many times we're ruled by all those other emotions and those other reactions. And that's just part of being human beings. It's okay. We're just being honest today. But what happens is when we practice thanksgiving, when we practice going to God with prayer and trusting in him and being reminded of his faithfulness, what happens is we literally become gracious people. We literally become people of peace. The peace of Christ settles on our hearts. And so Paul is like the doctor who's prescribing the cure to our problem. And here's what he's saying. He's saying this, if you're taking notes, thanksgiving is the antidote to worry. Thanksgiving is the antidote to worry. Now, it's counterintuitive, but it's just what we need. It's just what we need. Just like it's counterintuitive for me to get up and go to the doctor right away when I really need to go, even though I have my little system of ignoring it, then complaining about it, and then waiting it out. I have a feeling some of you wives in here are nudging your husbands. You're familiar with this situation, right? I have my natural tendency. It's counterintuitive, but here's the reality. It's Thanksgiving is the antidote to worry. It's the exact thing we need to do. Our natural tendency is not to give thanks when we're in difficult situations, right? How many of you, that's just like your natural tendency? Our natural tendency is to complain, is to worry, is to be anxious. Have you ever noticed we don't need a holiday to remind us to complain? We need Thanksgiving. We actually need this national holiday to remind our complaining nation to stop and give thanks. We don't have freak out giving. When that happens on a regular basis. We don't need anything to remind us to freak out. So we actually, you know, do the opposite of what scripture teaches. We find ourselves naturally worrying about everything and praying about nothing on our own. on our own, right? Left to ourselves, our natural tendency will be to worry about everything and pray about nothing. I mean, how many of you just naturally start to give thanks when things are going bad? So maybe some of you do. Maybe you're far along and you're really advanced, but you know, probably most of us just don't naturally do that. How many of you like just naturally like, God, I thank you for this flat tire on the way to work today when I have a really important meeting. This is so wonderful. You just burst forth in song, right? God, I thank you that my boss is a jerk, that he completely humiliated me today in front of all of the other staff and made me feel like trash. This is wonderful. I just want to sing the hallelujah chorus. Lord, I thank you that my child has diarrhea right now in public and there's no restrooms close by for me to go to. This is, Lord, I thank you for this situation. But this is so wonderful. Come on, right? This is not our natural tendency. It's not our natural tendency. And then Paul tells us to be anxious for nothing. He says, don't be anxious about anything. You say, Pastor Jeremy, anything? And this is like, that's like a tough pill to swallow. Like, that's really tough advice for us because often we have like legitimate stuff to be worried about, right? Like some of you are going through some stuff right now. You say, Pastor Jeremy, how am I supposed to be anxious about nothing? I have some real things happening in my marriage, in my family, in my finances. Maybe you're going through some serious sickness right now. There's problems at work or a relationship problem. And it's like significant stuff. We know about the everyday stuff, right? The everyday things. But some of you are really walking through some stuff right now. But here's what I want to say to you today. The Apostle Paul, he's not dismissing our problems. He's not dismissing our problems as nothing. He's not being insensitive. Remember, the Apostle Paul had some real problems of his own. Remember what I told you the background is, the context here. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter from house arrest. He's in jail right now in Rome, awaiting a trial before Caesar, and tradition tells us that he will go on to be executed. Paul had some real problems. He was in process of becoming a martyr at this time. He's writing to a church that's experiencing persecution during a pagan, godless time in the Roman Empire when Christianity was by no means the norm or the standard or the influence in the culture. And so he's not belittling anybody's problems. Paul's been through some stuff. In fact, Paul has the scars to prove it. And the only reason this Philippian church got off the ground is he went there and he loved on these people and he paid a price for preaching the gospel that they beat him up and threw him in jail. That's how he got the Philippian church off the ground. So this is a guy who can sympathize. This is a guy who can be sensitive to what's going on with their needs. And so Scripture's not insensitive to our situation. God is not insensitive to our situation. And here's the thing. Paul doesn't even promise that prayer is going to solve every problem. Now, we believe that prayer is effective, and Paul would believe that too. But here's what Paul is doing. Paul's teaching us. He's teaching the Philippians how to flourish and how to persevere as God's people. He's teaching them the things they need to do to become the people that God wants them to be. And see, when we practice gratitude, we become gracious people. Come on, how many of you know that's true? When we practice gratitude, we become gracious people. See, thanksgiving, giving thanks is actually a spiritual discipline, just like praying, just like reading God's word, just like fasting, just like giving. It's a spiritual discipline. And the whole idea of spiritual disciplines, they're not just things that we do because in church you're supposed to do these things because the pastor told me I'm supposed to do these things to be a good Christian. No. These things that we do, these are the habits that form us into the people of God. And so if you want to become a gracious person, if you want to become somebody who your default reaction to situations is that you just trust God, you just know that God's got this so much so that you can give thanks, we have to start to give thanks. We have to rehearse it. We have to practice it, right? And that means we're going to go through some stuff. We're going to have some opportunities to rehearse it. And if we always do things the way we've always done them, you're going to get the same results. And so at some point in time, we have to learn to start praying and going to God, become people of prayer during these times. People, and see, here's where thanksgiving is the secret weapon. What happens is, when you start thanking God, you start recalling God's faithfulness. You start thinking about all the times God has pulled through for you, all the times God has been faithful. Because if you've walked with God any amount of time, how many have known that God is faithful? How many have seen God answer prayer? How many have seen God provide for needs and healing and take care of you? If you've walked with God, the scripture says there's a reward for those who earnestly seek him. And so what happens is as you begin to rehearse those things, as you begin to name those things, I mean, pray them out loud, what happens is your faith grows and the problem shrinks. God gets bigger and the problems get smaller and you just get stronger and you actually become a person of thanksgiving. Amen. That's what we're after today. God, change our hearts. We don't want to just be people of complaining, people of worry, people of anxiety. Anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. Most people are doing that. But we want to be people with gracious hearts. So I want to just give you four really practical things about Thanksgiving today. Some ways that giving thanks can change us. You ready to go? If you're taking notes, you should have got some little note sheets when you came in, along with some crayons. If the sermon gets boring, you can color. All right, number one, thanksgiving puts things into proper perspective. So that's what happens when we begin to give thanks. Things come into their proper perspective. Everybody say perspective. I want to make sure you're with me this morning. See, thanksgiving causes us to stop and realize the blessings that we have. It causes us to realize that our problems are not the end of the world. Now, I'm not belittling your problems this morning, but thanksgiving, oftentimes, giving thanks to God, remembering God's faithfulness, remembering how God has taken care of us, it often puts things in the proper perspective. I love this quote from Pastor Phil Munsey. He said this, "Your heart is your lens by which you receive and perceive. You don't get in life what you want, you get what you are." Think about those last few words. What a powerful quote. We spend so much of life going after what we want. But the reality is, you get out of life what you are. You get out of life what your perception is. You ever been around some people who just been through some stuff and yet they're just thankful? I think about sometimes, my grandparents' generation, people who went through the Great Depression, man, they just went through stuff I've never been through before, and yet they're gracious. They're gracious because they've lived through it and they've seen God's faithfulness. And so it's really not about what you get. It's about who God's making you to be. And thanksgiving, when we give thanks to God, it puts things in proper perspective. Here's the second thing. Thanksgiving sets us free from complaining. Oh, boy, don't we need help with that one. We can be a complaining people. Thanksgiving can set us free from thanksgiving. You know, the sad thing is oftentimes the things that we complain about the most are the greatest blessings in our lives. Complain about our kids, complain about our house, complain about our car, complain about our job. Hello, these are first world problems, people. Many of the things that we complain about are the very things that we ask God to give us. If we'll stop and think about it, I would venture to say the things we complain about on a daily basis are actually the greatest blessings of our life. And that's why we need that change of perspective. But thanksgiving can set us free from complaining. You know, the first pilgrims who had the first Thanksgiving, they actually had a lot they could have complained about, and yet they threw a party and had Thanksgiving. A couple years ago, this past summer, we went to visit Plymouth Plantation. I think we have a picture of that. And there with the boys, there we are. We went and visited Plymouth Plantation. This is what happens when your dad's a history buff. You get dragged to historical sites on family vacation. So pray for my poor kids. But it's actually a really cool kind of living history experience. Some of you may have been there before. I encourage you to check it out. Plymouth Plantation up in Massachusetts. But the earliest Thanksgiving is traced back to the fall of 1621 when the Puritan settlers got together at Plymouth Plantation and they gave thanks to God. And the famous Native American Squanto had taught them how to grow corn and how to catch eel to survive. Imagine that. And the Native Americans had actually donated food to help the pilgrims survive their first winter. So they actually had a 3-day harvest feast. It was celebrated by 50 of the 100 colonists who survived. So this is a little perspective here, okay? Now, for them, the first Thanksgiving was more of a thank God we survived festival. You know, Americans kind of have this tradition. Some of you may do this in your family where you sit down to the Thanksgiving meal and you go around the table and like you say something you're thankful for. Anybody you do that? Any guys ever, you know, your family done that before? Kind of an all-American tradition, right? Can you imagine like what the first Thanksgiving must have been like, you know? Like little Billy, what are you thankful for? I'm thankful that I didn't freeze to death like the other 50 people last winter. You know, little Susie, what are you thankful for? I'm thankful that the Native Americans taught us how to grow corn and they didn't kill us. Right? And then some kids eating eel. I'm thankful for this eel. I mean, really bad, right? That was the first Thanksgiving, and yet these people had a 3-day harvest celebration. It puts things into perspective. These people were given thanks in a really difficult situation when they were just blessed and lucky to be alive. The first Thanksgiving was, thank God we survived. Half of everybody else is dead, but we're here. Let's eat their portion of the food. Woohoo! Let's go. Let's have a party. Man. And so most of our problems, the truth is, compared to the struggles of much of the world, they're nothing. Don't get me wrong, I'm not being insensitive to the real problems you're going through, but you know, most of the world lives on less than a dollar a day. Millions of people today are dying from diseases because they don't have clean water. Imagine people who are living in parts of the world that are just ravaged by war. I mean, if you're from Syria right now and you've had to flee because your home has been destroyed and your village has been raped and pillaged and people you love have been murdered. The reality is we need Thanksgiving to set us free from complaining, because if we'll stop and take stock of our lives, we probably have a whole lot more going on that's a blessing than we have to complain about. Are you with me this morning? Here's the third thing. Thanksgiving reminds us that God is our source and provider. See, Thanksgiving takes our eyes off of us and places our focus on God. The problem is that we're tempted to believe that we're our providers. That's the truth. We're tempted to believe that we're the ones who provide for ourselves, that we're the ones who are in control. And so when bad things happen, we get worried, because bad things reveal that our trust is oftentimes placed in ourselves. And what Thanksgiving does is it gets our eyes off of us and it gets our eyes on God. Thanksgiving takes our focus off of the need and it places it on the one who supplies the need. That's what Thanksgiving does. It causes us to long for God and not all of the things that we're longing for. That's what Thanksgiving does in our lives. It reminds us that God is our source, God is our provider, and our trust is in Him. Here's the fourth thing. Thanksgiving brings us relief. Everybody say relief. Relief. Come on, we could use some relief. Thanksgiving brings us relief. You know why? It sets us free from the burden of having to figure out everything for ourselves. All the problems, all the situations, all the drama, all the things happening at work and with your family, with your kids, with your finances, with your sickness, all the things that we have to manage that feel so out of our control sometimes. Here's the thing. You know what? We can let them go, because when we give thanks, we acknowledge, God, you are the center of my life. God, you are my provider. God, you are the one who's taking care of me. God, you have it under control and you're going to give me the ability. It doesn't mean we're not going to do our part, right? We're going to get up and go to work and take care of our family and do our best. But God, ultimately, at the end of the day, my hope is not in me. My hope is not that I have it all together. God, at the end of the day, God, you're my source. God, you're my strength. God, you're my provider. You're my rock. You're my foundation. Man, you read the Psalms, you see that all throughout the Psalms, the psalmist is crying out saying, God, I don't have it figured out. There's a sense of relief that comes with that. You know that? I mean, we live in a world where people are fighting so hard to be in control, to be the man, to be the person who has it all figured out. And sometimes people think that's what Christians are. People think Christians are these goody people, goody little two-shoes people who think they have it all figured out because they love them some Jesus and everything's good. That's not what it is to be a Christian. That's not what it is. To be a Christian is to find relief. It's to find relief. It's to not have it all together, but to put our hope in one who does. Amen. This is a faith for people who don't have it all together and who find relief in Him. And so let me ask this question. When is the last time that you freaked out about something and it actually helped things to be better? Right? I mean, the freaking out part never really helps things to be better. I love this quote from Mark Batterson, one of my favorite pastors and authors, from his new book, If. He says this: if your emotions are anchored to your circumstances, they'll look like a stock chart that goes up and down daily. You'll have lots of bear markets and probably a crash or two. If your emotions aren't anchored to the cross, it becomes your fixed point of peace. I love that. Isn't that so good? If our emotions are anchored to the cross, it becomes our fixed point of peace. I want to show you this video as we go into the closing of the message that really puts things in perspective, and it talks about just daily Thanksgiving. Isn't that so good? It just puts things in perspective, doesn't it? Yeah, let's give it a hand. How everyday, ordinary things, oftentimes things that we complain about, are actually blessings if we could just get a change of perspective. I want the worship team to come as we prepare to close. In just a moment, we're going to receive communion together. Let me say this to you. Something wonderful happens. Would you just stay focused for a moment as the worship team comes? Something wonderful happens when we give thanks. Here's the truth. Thanksgiving may not change all of your circumstances. It may not change those things that cause you to be anxious, that cause you to complain. But here's what's wonderful that happens. Thanksgiving changes us. It may not change all of our circumstances, but Thanksgiving changes us. I love what the scripture goes on to say here. The Apostle Paul tells us in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then listen what verse 7 says. Here's what happens. If we become people of peace, if we become people of prayer, if we become people who allow the Holy Spirit to work in us so deeply that our default is to go to God in prayer in the midst of our needs, here's the result of what happens, verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends. Maybe your version of it says passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good? Listen, I love the way Paul put that, because it's peace that doesn't make sense in normal circumstances. Peace that passes all understanding. Let me make it simple for you. The Apostle Paul is saying, when it doesn't make sense to have peace, if you will trust God, if you become a person of prayer, if you become a person of thanksgiving, you will have peace when everybody else is freaking out, because it's not your peace, it's a peace that comes from God. How many of you would say, sign me up for that? Sign me up for that. I love the biblical idea of peace too. You see, we read peace, and in our English connotation, we think of the word peace as the absence of conflict, no war, nobody fighting. But here's the biblical idea of peace in the original language. The biblical idea of peace isn't the absence of anything, it's the presence of God. The biblical idea of peace is the wholeness, the goodness, the presence of God in your life, like you saw in that video, that girl recognizing the hand of God all over her day, the thumbprints of God in the everyday things, God's presentness in her life. Here's what Paul is saying. If we will become people who trust God in the everyday, ordinary, and in the situations that freak us out, we will experience the very peace and the presence and the wholeness and the fullness of God. And even more so, we'll become people of peace. If we'll practice gratitude, we'll become gracious people. Would you stand with me this morning? As we close this morning, what would your life look like if this message could take root in your heart and we could really become? Here's our prayer. What would life look like, Lord, if we could learn to become people of peace, people of gratitude? That's my prayer for you individually. But what would it look like for us as a church? What would it look like in your family? What would it look like in your marriage? What would it look like in your workplace? What would it look like as you sit down to deal with your finances? What would it look like for us collectively as a church to be people who are filled with gratitude? Instead of complaining, instead of worrying, instead of freaking out, people who are ruled by the very peace and presence of God. That's our prayer today. That's our prayer today. I want to pray for you this morning. Would you just bow your head? Maybe today you're here this morning for the first time, or you've come at the invitation of a friend or family member, or this is your first time coming to church in a while, and you're not quite sure what you believe. Maybe you're going through a difficult time right now. Maybe some of those things I talked about. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe something in your marriage. Maybe sickness in your body, stress at work, your finances. And you just say, Pastor Jeremy, I want the peace that you described. We believe ultimately that peace is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to invite you to just call upon the Lord and say, Jesus, I invite you into my life. You can just do that now. Jesus, I invite you into my life. I want to place my trust in you. I believe you are the Son of God. And today I invite you into my life. I admit my need for you. You can just pray that simple prayer today. Jesus, I admit my need for you. Save me. And we believe he hears your prayer today, if that's you. And then I want to pray for all of us this morning that we would become people of prayer and gratitude. People of peace, that we would experience God's peace and not be people of anxiety and worry. Would you pray that with me? If you want that this morning, maybe just bow your heads. Maybe you want to lift your hands. Just open your heart today. God, we thank you today for your word. Father, we thank you that you give us the gift of peace. And Lord, today we're asking you to set us free from worry and doubt and fear and anxiety. God, we're asking you to do something that we can't do ourselves, but God, we're asking you to make us people of prayer, people of thanksgiving, so much so that we can experience the peace of God, your peace, God, which passes all human understanding. God, may it guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We give you thanks today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.